Mornings. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for Be Local Buzz with Devin. Devin is the owner and publisher of Stroll Harbor Bluffs and Be Local Beaches magazines. She's also the founder of Raising Relief Foundation and the host of Be Local Buzz on the TAN Talk Radio Network. Now here's Devin, your community connector. Tampa Bay, this is in fact Be Local Buzz with Devin. Do not adjust your settings, do not adjust your radio dials. It is 4 o'clock, it is Thursday. This is Be Local Buzz with Devin. This is Matt, the producer of the show. Devin is not here this week. She had something come up. She is unavailable for the show today, but she has found and provided us with a very, very good replacement and some very special guests on the show today. So filling in for Devin this week is going to be Bruce Rector. Bruce, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Producer Matt. Appreciate the invitation of Devin to come in here and guest host for her. This is the first time I've ever hosted a radio show.
So, really?
Producer Matt, you know, it's kind of, if you remember the movie Forrest Gump.
Where,
you know, Forrest puts Bubba on his back and carries him through the battlefield to safety. So I'm counting on you to carry me through here for the next hour.
You got it, sir.
Get us going. And I've got other help here today. We've got some great guests.
Yes, we do.
We've got James Poulter, who's with the Chichi Rodriguez Foundation. James is going to tell us a little bit about the foundation and the importance of the foundation to Clearwater. And then he's also going to talk a little bit about Valspar Championship, which is coming up very soon at Innisbrook. And then we've got Lisa Chandler from the Sugar Sand Festival. So we've got other great help to help me get through today. And appreciate, again, Devin. We hope she returns soon. But appreciate the opportunity to be here to host her show today. So, James, great to have you here.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing? Yeah. Thanks for the invite.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you first got involved with the foundation here in Clearwater and what your background is before you got here?
Sure, 100%. So if you can't tell by the funny accent, I'm actually originally from England. I moved over in 2003 and actually started out at Chi-Chi's as a volunteer while I was waiting for my work permit to come through. Volunteered with the kids in our after-school program at the time, helping them with homework and going out on the golf course and just being a bit of a role model. And then ended up getting a job in our summer camp program, our first tee program, helping the kids with junior golf and some life skills and some life lessons. Then a job in the pro shop, ran the pro shop, and moved on from there and took over as CEO of the foundation January 1st, 2020, so right before COVID.
I think it's always an interesting story for a lot of folks of us who live here in Clearwater that the history of the Chi-Chi Rodriguez Youth Foundation, why it was started, and what you actually do. I think a lot of folks, like my son and I, we just go out there to play golf. It's not the longest course as far as the length of the fairways, but the greens are very, very challenging, and they're challenging for a reason. Some of the training that you do for young golfers and young kids is very important, but it's a fascinating story about how the foundation started and the course started with Chi-Chi Rodriguez. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, 100%. So we're actually in our 45th anniversary this year. So the foundation was founded in 1979 by Chi-Chi and two other gentlemen, Bob James, who was the founder of Raymond James Financial, and Bill Hayes, who was a local educator and actually worked at Raymond James at the time. Chi-Chi was in town playing in the JCPenney Classic, which is an event held at Bardmore, which is now turned into the Valspar Championship. So there's a little tie in there. And so we originally started the foundation as an after-school program down on Court Street in Clearwater. As you're driving in on Gulf to Bay, you'll see it now as soccer fields. That's where we first started as Glen Oaks Golf Club. And, you know, we operated out there for many years. And we expanded up onto McMullen Booth Road in Clearwater in the 80s. And so we've had the course there on McMullen Booth since 1989. And like you say, a lot of people drive by and they don't really understand who we are or what we do. So we're constantly educating people moving to the area, tourists, all the people coming into town. And so we operate a golf club and a driving range, and all the proceeds from those operations come back to the foundation. And so really our main mission is our public school. partnership with the Pinellas County School System. So we have about 90 kids that come to school every day on campus. It's a regular school. Teachers are Pinellas County employees. The food and transportation is provided by the school system. They're there because they're performing below grade level, and we want to help them get back on track academically. But we use the golf course as a living classroom. So there's some unique things that we can do that the kids won't get in the normal school system. You know, we do a shadow program, so we'll have kids come with all of our different department heads. We show them what we do on a daily basis in a working business. They'll go out on the golf course and, you know, learn what it takes to grow grass. They'll go with our mechanic and learn how to change a tire, or, you know, work in with our accountant and pay some bills. Come with me and take a look at the T-sheet, see how busy we are, and learn about our marketing and our videos and how we kind of help tell the story about the foundation. So, you know, very proud of the work that we do. And then we're also part of the First Tee program. So First Tee is a national organization that teaches golf and life skills to kids. And so we're the First Tee of Clearwater, and we service North Pinellas County. So any junior golfers that are, you know, want to learn the game from Tarpon Springs down to Largo, you know, we run programming in the evenings, on the weekends, summer camps. It's a great program and a great curriculum for kids to learn the game.
And I think Chuchi Rodriguez got involved originally because he had had a difficult upbringing as a child himself, and he was looking to find a program he could start or be associated with that would inspire kids. And so can you tell us, you know, some success stories that you've had there at the foundation with inspiring kids to go on and do good things?
Sure, 100%. So Chichi was originally from Puerto Rico, grew up very poor. And when he, you know, became successful at golf, he realized that, you know, that was his passion, and he wanted to give back and help kids. And so, you know, by forming the foundation and starting with kids that, you know, needed a little bit of help and guidance, and then partnering with the school system, you know, we've been able to have many different success stories over the years, not just from kids playing golf, but people growing up and becoming, you know, amazing humans and great people and giving back to society. So lots of success stories. You know, many people have gone on to give back to the foundation as well. We actually had an event on Monday over at Innisbrook. We did our fundraiser for the foundation. And one of our former students is actually trying to get onto the tour right now. And he came out and played with some golfers out there to help us raise money on Monday. So, you know, lots of success stories, yeah, for sure.
So how do you raise money to operate the foundation? What, it's a combination of things, I know, but can you give us some examples of the ways that you make the operation successful?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously, we run a pretty tight ship on the golf club and the driving range. Obviously, post-COVID, there's been a lot more interest in people being outside and playing golf. So, you know, we're definitely making sure that we're running the business as well there. And then also we go out and raise money through special events. We do 3 major fundraisers a year. We just had one this past Monday. We've got one coming up April 25th. We're actually doing our 45th anniversary, a sapphire soiree over at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. So we're going to be using the space over there. And then the Chichi Charity Classic is our kind of mainstay event. That's always the second weekend in November. Chichi typically comes over and hosts it for us. And so those 3 events tied in with public contributions, grants, individual donations, you know, people that understand our mission and want to support junior golf, kids, education, you know, just kind of a great program that we have.
It takes a lot of involvement from the community to make these things successful.
And yeah, no doubt.
You've been very good at getting folks to collaborate and support you and do great things. So your involvement with Valspar, how does that help you in different ways run your annual programming?
It's tremendous. I mean, you know, Valspar is an amazing event that we're so lucky to have in our community. As the Chichi Rodriguez Foundation, I would say that we're what they call a pillar charity. So there are, you know, Habitat for Humanity, you know, Tampa General Hospital. You know, there's a handful of other great charities and organizations in our community, but we're kind of on the top end of that list because of who we are, what we do, the mission, the tie into golf, and the relationship that we have with our First Tee partners. And so, you know, there's lots of different ways that we activate during tournament week, volunteering a lot on the concession stands. We have kids that are going to be standard bearers during the first round of the tournament. We'll actually be inside the ropes. Some of the kids will get to go out there. There's going to be a junior golf clinic on the Tuesday, which we're excited about, at 3:30 on the Tuesday at the driving range. So that's open to anybody that wants to come out for that. And so it's really just a big week for not only us, but the whole community. In general, the tournament gives back over $1 million every year. So, you know, I think they've hit the $50 million mark since the tournament's been around, and they're very proud to be part of that.
Yeah. Well, the standard bearer, for those out there listening that don't play golf or pay attention to golf, that's you carry the scorecard, basically, for the foursome or threesome that's playing that you're walking with. I had the opportunity to do that one year. They didn't have anybody with them, and it's hard work.
Yeah.
To walk 18 holes.
Yes, it is, and especially out there.
Golfers. But it was a fascinating experience to be behind them on the course inside the ropes, just to have that perspective. And I can imagine for young golfers, it's incredibly inspiring to be right there on the course as they are playing.
Yeah, 100%. It's, you know, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for some of the kids. You know, and the players are great as well. You know, after the round, they'll sign golf balls, sign gloves, hats. You know, and you know, creating memories that the kids will remember forever. So.
Now, have you been a golfer all your life, or how did you get interested in golf originally?
Yeah, I played golf in England a little bit. Just played at kind of the high school and college level a little bit. In England, you don't have the weather to play it year-round, typically. So, you know, it's one of those summer sports that we have over there. And, you know, I just think it's a great game. Anybody can play it. You can continue to play it. As a child or as a senior, you know, with the handicap system that you have, the different tees that you can play from, it's fun. It's a great way to meet people, and you can tell a lot about somebody when you're playing with them on the golf course.
And I think, did you go with a group to the British Open this past year, or recently you did?
Yeah, I got a chance to go back to the British Open in Liverpool this year, which was pretty cool.
So I've had a chance to play St. Andrews once, and I've played overseas. So I have my own perspective on how different it is to play those courses it is to courses over here. But what's been your experience playing, or the differences between playing that kind of course and the courses we have here in the United States?
I think the weather and the wind, you know, makes a big difference with the club selections and how the challenges that you have, especially off the tees. But, you know, definitely some beautiful places around the world to play. But we're very fortunate. I mean, Florida, there's some tremendous golf courses. Obviously, Bel Air just did a big renovation. It's an amazing facility. Dunedin's closed right now. They're doing a big project this summer to bring it back to their original Donald Ross design, which is really exciting for Dunedin. We're actually getting ready to redo our irrigation system on the golf course at Chi-Chi's. We're going to be start doing that in October. So, you know, we're excited about that project. You know, the club's been open now since 1989. So, you know, this a lot of the piping in the ground is old and failing, and you have a lot, you know, challenging maintaining the irrigation system. So, you know, we're investing back in the property and taking care of it, and want to put out the best product that we can, you know, for the community, for the kids.
And several years ago, you redid the greens on all the holes. And I can tell you, personal experience, very, very challenging greens. But what led to that renovation and that update?
Yeah, I think just timing, you know, with everything. They were the original greens before, you know, since 1989, and we replaced those. That was in like 2009 now. So, you know, that's going on 5 years. And, you know, the greens are in really good shape right now. You just do have to do that kind of thing in Florida, especially, to make sure that you're continuing to put out the best product that we can.
We had the big year at Valspar when Tiger Woods played. I saw crowds like I'd never seen before, and I'd volunteered out there for a number of years. But so that was certainly an exciting tournament, just to be close to Tiger while he was playing. But what's your favorite Valspar moment?
I think it's one that you had too. We were just talking about it. When Jordan Spieth won for the first time out of Valspar, we were on 18, and we all had to get back down to 17 to see the playoff hole, and see him make that putt on 17 was very special. That was cool.
What big plans for growth, if any, do you have over at the foundation, or what's some things that you dream about that you think that the foundation could become even bigger and better in future years?
I think just kind of continuing the great relationship that we have with the City of Clearwater. We're very thankful for the partnership that we have to operate the facility in partnership with the city. Continuing the relationship that we have with Pinellas County School System. Obviously, I think post-COVID, kids in general going through school have a lot more challenges than they did when I was a kid. especially with social media and different pressures that they have in their peer groups. So, you know, we operate the middle school, and, you know, we see a need there for continuing to help support middle school kids especially. And, yeah, we're actually kind of looking at the campus evaluation right now. You know, we want to continue to do upgrades, focus on safety and security, and hopefully adding some extra classes to the school as well.
And I know you said earlier that one of the ways that folks can support the foundation is to play golf there. It's a public course, and anybody can get a tee time pretty much any time that they want. But you also made some renovations to the driving range within the past year or so, and that's been really innovative. I think there's some new technology out there, so and that's open to the public.
Facilities are open to the public. You know, we try and keep it affordable. You know, obviously golf has kind of had that boom, supply and demand, but you know, I think it's a very affordable place to play golf, in good shape. And the driving range is a great asset for us as well. You know, we operate about 30 acres over at the range. We have a short game area, a practice putting green, a chipping green. We have 50 bays. And you're right, I mean, you're spot on. We added the power tee system in there about 18 months ago, and it's really neat. It's basically a ball dispensing system. Sounds a little bit lazy. You don't have to bend over. You dump the balls into a tray, and the balls automatically pop up onto the tee. But the kids love it, and it's great for adults and seniors. And honestly, I like it from a practice perspective. Because, you know, you're not constantly bending over. You get set. You can do slight adjustments to your stance to just kind of see how you hit the ball compared every time.
And this is how you know we have good discussion on the show. We have a phone call.
Okay.
And she is the one, the only, the host of the show, Devin.
Well, fantastic. Devin, how are you doing?
Hey, Bruce, how are you? I wanted to call in and say... I heard that our future Clearwater mayor's on there, and I just wanted to say, hey...
Well, we miss you today. I've got producer Matt carrying me through, and I've got good guests. So,
excellent.
Look forward to having you back soon on this show.
Well, thank you so much for doing it. I appreciate it. So I just have a question for you. What are your constituents saying that they want the first thing that you to address when you become the mayor?
Yeah. Well, we're kind of talking about golf today and sugar sand, but I appreciate that. But we'll get that out on another show.
All right. So when I come back, you have to come back on the show.
That's right. We'll come back and see you.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say hey, and thanks for doing a great job, and have a great show.
Good to be on here, Devin.
We'll see you next week, Devin.
All right. Yeah. I'll see you guys later. Yeah. Have a good one.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So anyway, back to the discussion with the T.T. Rodriguez Foundation in the golf tournament.
Yeah, James, I was just getting ready. You've got lights out there, too, on the driving range.
Yep, we do. We're the only lit driving range in the area, so we are open from 8 till 8. And, you know, that's kind of on our radar as well to kind of do some upgrades at the range. And there's a lot of different technologies out there now, from Top Tracer to On Range, which is a Doppler tracking ball system. And upgrading the lights, so it's becoming more of an entertainment-based business at the driving range. I mean, obviously, I think if you're a golfer, you're probably familiar with Top Golf. We're lucky now that we've just had a new Top Golf open in the Feather Sound area, and it's great. It's a great facility. It's awesome. It's entertainment. You don't really need to be a golfer to be out there, but it is expensive. And so, you know, I think it's a benefit for us that they're here, and I think a lot of people will get into golf, but look for another more affordable way to go. And so if we continue to invest in our facility with a little bit of technology and, you know, some good options, I think, you know, we'll continue to see success in the future with that.
Yeah. I had somebody from St. Petersburg looking for a nighttime driving range or one they could use after dark, and there are very few in the entire county.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and North Pinellas County, kind of a sleepy part of town anyways, so it's not like we're open till midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, but yeah, I mean we're open 8 to 8, staying busy.
We're getting ready to talk to Lisa Chandler with Sugar Sand Festival, but you're certainly familiar with the attendance and things they do at Valspar, and the great economic impact it has to not just Clearwater, Pinellas County, but Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. So you know, I don't know if you've been out there a lot like I have, so you've seen it firsthand how many people attend every year. And I've heard the advertisements for tickets for this year. It's been rated the top golf course on the PGA Tour, top tournament, but for fans first, meaning it's very fan friendly, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have a great golf course in the Cophead Golf Course and the partnership that, we have with Innisbrook out there. We're really fortunate to have Tracy West, who's our tournament director. You know, I'm a Copperhead, which is a group of volunteers that helps promote the tournament through the Copperhead Charities that has the license to run the tour event. So, you know, we've been part of that now for close to 10 years. And, you know, again, we've got some great people involved. We're actually, Rondé Barber is our general chairman, co-general chairman with John Astrab this year. Rondé is going to be that general chair role into perpetuity. So, you know, he lives in the area, lives in the region, understands how valuable the tournament is for our community, and has committed his time to volunteer to be the general chair for as long as he's around. So, you know, we're very lucky to have that. And yeah, I mean, the economic impact is huge. I mean, the Tiger effect is real. When he was here, I think the number was, you know, close to $2.3 million came back to the community. But every year, at least, you know, $1 million plus is coming back to anywhere from 60 to 80 different charities. So, you know, it is a truly regional event for Tampa Bay. And again, just, you know, it's just fun. It's fun for the whole family. Kids under 15 are free. And, you know, it's just a great, great fun week. And then also, too, I mean, the so many different activations that are out there. Like I said, from the Junior Golf Clinic on the Tuesday to Cole Swindell Country Music Concert on the Saturday, which is free with a general ticket entry. So, you know, I mean, there's thousands of, you know, thousands of people coming out that day to the concert as well.
And so that tournament starts on Thursday, March 21st, and runs for 4 days. The concert Saturday night, as you said. You don't have to bring a chair. Their Habitat for Humanity raises money. They'll let you borrow a chair for, I think it's $10 or something per chair. But it's a great fundraiser for Habitat, and then it's a great event, the music event. And I know there are a lot of folks who maybe aren't very passionate about golf, but they love coming out to the watch golf that day and then hear the concert. And Cole Swindell will be a fantastic act and a beautiful atmosphere that night, too.
It is, and we're very lucky to have Valspar as the title sponsor, and country music seems to be their thing. And so that's why, you know, we've had a lot of great artists over the year. We had the late, great Toby Keith out there a few years ago as well. But you're looking forward to seeing Cole Swindell, for sure.
Well, thanks for coming on, James.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having us.
Anything else you want to add today?
No, I just get out there. Any information, if anybody's interested in learning more about Chi-Chi's, please check out our website, chichi.org. There's information there about the foundation, the golf club, the school, the driving range, our first tee program. So, now, anybody that's interested in learning more, just get on there and check us out. And like I say, just coming out and playing golf and hitting balls at the driving range helps the foundation. So, you know, thank everybody that does that.
Well, thank you, James.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
Well, I'll go from my left to my right. I've got Lisa Chandler here with the Sugar Sand Festival. How are you today, Lisa?
I'm doing sensational. Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, before, you know, just starting off, I think it's, how many years have you been having the Sugar Sand?
So this will be our 10-year anniversary this year, but it did start 12 years ago, but we were at a hiatus for 2 years due to COVID.
Okay. And so this is a fascinating story, I think, about how it all started and where you got the idea from. So can you share that history with
Absolutely.
Us?
Absolutely. I cannot take claim for the idea. The concept was not mine. I was introduced to the idea of building an art museum made out of sand by a local group of sand sculptors who had just recently returned from Cape Town, South Africa, and they had basically built a museum for a promoter out of sand and water. They brought a lookbook. I flipped through the photos, and I said, one day we are going to bring this to Clearwater Beach. I had worked with the sand sculptors through our business. We would build a Santa sand sculpture for the holidays, so I knew how much a sand sculpture would cost for my business. I was a little naive in understanding the logistics and everything that goes into building a museum made out of sand. So it became my bucket list event. And I always said one day if I either won the lottery or came into a lot of money, we would bring the sand to life on Clearwater Beach. And here we are. We're going into our 10th year this year.
Yeah. And it's changed a lot over the years.
Yes,
so
it has.
I don't even remember how long ago it's been, but it started just under the tent.
Very small.
Really an exhibition.
Yes. Our very first year, the exhibit was 9,000 square feet. We are now 21,000 square feet, so we've almost, we have actually doubled in size. But the first year was just the exhibit itself. We did have sand sculpting classes. We were off to a very humble start. The first year, we basically had 90 days to try and pitch this to the community, get the buy-in from sponsors. I'd love to say Frenchies was the one who I approached him first, and had it not been for him, he basically said, you know, I will be happy to support you. Didn't quite understand the concept, as most people didn't. They thought we were just building sandcastles versus being an art museum. But we started off that first year, and then as the years have progressed, we have added the Frenchies Free Beach Concerts, we have fireworks, sand sculpting classes, artisans, street performers. This year, in honor of our 10-year anniversary, we're going to have a butterfly garden exhibit.
Oh, wow.
That will be open to the public Friday through Sunday. It's free. You can come in, learn about butterflies, feed the butterflies, and then on Sundays, they'll do a butterfly release on the beach as well. So that's new. In addition to the butterfly garden exhibit, we have a new standalone, which is also a free exhibit. It's called Sand Animation, and there's a video. It's about a 10-minute video that you can watch. It's all about the importance of recycling and why it's important to keep our beaches clean. And then participants can come in and actually try their hand at another form of art, which is called sand animation. And then the last new thing this year, on the last day, we are going to have what's called Salsa and Bachata. It'll start at 1 o'clock. There'll be live DJs, performances, flamenco dancers. You can actually come take the dance lessons before our grand finale concert, and we will wrap up with a fireworks show on that Sunday as well, which is new, at 9 p.m.
Well, the dance lessons would be very helpful to me, because that's not one of my strengths. So
I think you should come out there. I actually think it's going to be very well attended. We're getting a lot of great feedback. This is the first year that we've done this, so we're really excited about the 10-year anniversary.
I think it's just amazing to me how much it's grown into, from an exhibition really to a festival. Because
yes.
I remember the year you told me before it started, and I don't know how many years it's been, but not that long, you said, well, you know, we're going to try to use Pier 60 Park this year. We're going to put up some amusement rides.
Yes.
And just, you know, maybe expand it a little bit. Just see how it goes. We're not sure if people will like it or not. And it went over really well. Every year you've added on a little bit more, haven't you?
We have. Each year we do add a little bit more to try and entice people to come out and give them different things to do. But the Ferris wheel has been a huge success. Some of the greatest views you can see as far as Caladesi. You can see downtown Clearwater.
Wow.
So that's been really nice, a nice feature to have out there, as well as all the bounce houses, the water slides, and so forth that are part of the festival as well.
So for those folks who, you know, are, you know, they don't understand, how do they build the sculptures, they get them to stay together?
So I can speak a little bit on that, but I'll say for the record that I am not a sand sculptor. I'm in the hospitality business, but I've learned so much about the art of sand sculpting. The build out is what to me is the most fascinating part of what we do out there. Unfortunately, it's the part that the public does not get to see. We use 1,000 tons of our own Clearwater Beach sand. I will tell you that, you know, people always say, well, why don't you have your sand trucked in? It would be very cost prohibitive to truck in all of that sand to build the exhibit. But with our partnership with the city of Clearwater, we have the front end loaders. It takes them about a week to compile all the sand. And of course, one of the things that separates us from other sand sculpting events throughout the country is our exhibit is all contained underneath a 21,000 square foot structure. Obviously, sand and wind and water don't mix. And it's just a way for us to be able to create some longevity with the 17
protect
days
the artwork.
And protect the artwork, because it is just sand and water. a lot of surface tension, compaction. The build-out, like I said, is a really fascinating, it's a construction zone for start to finish.
Do they use just a little bit of glue or something?
So that is the big secret. The big secret, which it's public knowledge. Nothing goes into the sand when they're building. Much like hairspray is for women, you can spray your hair with hairspray, but you can still run your fingers through your hair. It's 25% Elmer's glue to 75% water, and it's just like a spraying finish. They don't put it on until the actual art is complete, and then it's just like a mist that they spray over to help keep the sand compacted.
Yeah. So when you're gathering artists for this festival, how much has that changed over the years? Was it really, really hard, or is there a community of these folks?
It is a very, very small community of sand sculptors. You know, you think about, you know, when people grow up and say, I want to go to art school. There isn't an actual school for the art of sand sculpting. Most of the sculptors have very interesting backgrounds from architecture. It just, their stories are fascinating. But we commissioned Tampa Bay Sand Sculpting Company. He is local. He lives in Bel Air. His name is Patrick Harsh. And we work with him, and then he basically brings in all of the sculptors from all over the globe. They change pretty much every year. We have six out of the 16 that have been with us since day one.
Oh, wow.
And that's part of the original core group of sand sculptors. They bring in apprentices every year. It's just a really fascinating job. They get to travel the world. The art of sand sculpting, it's like I said, it's a niche market, but we commission them to build the exhibit. We have a performance artist that is there all 17 days bringing the sand to life so that visitors can actually see the sand, you know, being created, which is fascinating as well. But they're there to give the free classes every day at 2 p.m. And then on Saturdays, they're also at 11 a.m. We host a lot of field trips, group tours. People come from all over the country to the destination specifically for the event. But I think it's also been very popular with the locals as well, because this is their beach. And what better way to celebrate Mother Nature's two greatest assets, our sugar sand and our sunsets on Clearwater Beach.
And then there's been the last couple of years, I've noticed there's a competition along the pier. What's that about?
So we added a pro-am competition. We actually have two competitions. There is one inside the exhibit. That is the College Wall Art Master Sand Sculpting Competition. You can only see it if you purchase a ticket to come inside. Patrons can vote for their favorite sculpture inside the exhibit, and then 100% of all of the proceeds will go to local Title I schools here in Clearwater. The Pro-Am that you made reference to, that takes place on the outside of the exhibit. It is free for the public to see, and that takes place the second weekend of the festival, and they are competing for cash prizes. But again, it's just a great thing. This year, we have actually themed out our Pro-Am amateur competition. All of the sculptures will be dedicated to Jimmy Buffett. It'll be a song or something that is relative to the memory of Jimmy Buffett. And then we'll wrap up with a free concert by the Land Sharks, which is another Parrot Head group, along with the Tampa Bay Parrot Heads. And that'll be on site. And we'll be doing a beach cleanup that weekend as well.
I remember I went last year, and I went a number of nights, but I was out there for one of the concerts, and as they were finishing, the fireworks went off overhead. It was just spectacular. I forget the song that the band was playing, but it was just spectacular, the setup and the timing of all that. What would you say is what has surprised you maybe the most that's been successful, something you thought, well, I'm not sure if this is going to work or not, but it's really worked out well?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I would say that in the beginning, when the concept was introduced to me, I thought it would be a great way to showcase what separates us from other beach destinations, which is our sand. If you travel throughout the country, not everybody has that quartz crystal white powder soft sand like we do. But the thing I think that has probably surprised me the most is the fascination of when people come into the exhibit, there's not a person that doesn't have a camera or video in their hand, and they're just sharing these images on, now that social media is a big thing, on social media, which is like inviting people to the destination. Even if you're not there, mm-hmm. you still can appreciate the art. And it's just a very family-friendly environment. All of the activities, we try and create things for every age demographic. But I think that's probably the most rewarding thing for me, is to see the amount of exposure that this event creates for Clearwater Beach. Because, as you know, my background is in the hospitality industry. Mm-hmm. Steve and I, this is our passion project. We serve as volunteers for the Sunsets at Pier 60 Society, which is the 501c3 arts organization that puts on the Sugar Sand Festival, which I must give a shout out. On March 17th, we will actually be celebrating our 29th year out at Pier 60 Park, providing free family entertainment year-round from 2 hours before until 2 hours after sunset.
Great.
So I would say that's probably...
Yeah.
That would be my answer.
Well, you mentioned it's family-friendly.
Yes.
And I know the Chandler family dives in deep.
Yes, we do.
For this.
Yes, we do.
I mean,
it is a family affair.
You probably don't have a choice if your last name's Chandler.
If your last
name... You put a lot of time into the Sugar Sand Festival.
Yes, you are very correct. My oldest daughter, Carissa, is the one full-time employee for the festival. We have two part-time managers who manage the on-site Sunsets Festival, but it's definitely a family affair. If we're out there, you will see all four of my children, and every friend that I have in Clearwater comes out to help volunteer and support the event. It's a huge monstrosity of, you know, people don't realize it's a 37-day project from start to finish. So this next Monday, March 11th, the tent will arrive and they will start to compile all of the sand out there. And then the following week is when all the sculptors fly in, and it basically takes them 2 weeks to build the exhibit.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
What?
2 weeks of carving. And then, like I said, we have the performance artists that are out there every day, so you can always ask questions. They're a great group of men and women. We actually have three females on the pile this year in an industry that is predominantly male. It's a lot of fun to see people's reaction when they walk in, because it's just sand and water.
Mm-hmm. So how has your attendance grown over the years?
Ooh, the first year, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say that we had like 15,000 people, and that was just for the exhibit itself. It was only 10 days. Last year, we were a little over 60,000. And, you know, the year before that was actually a little bit busier on the ticket sales, but it was interesting because at the end of the day, we are permitted to serve alcohol during the event as part of our fundraising efforts. We doubled our alcohol sales last year, and our concert attendance was doubled. So we had more people out. You know, there's all of these free events that take place. You don't have to necessarily to participate in the event. The only thing that requires a ticket is the actual Sugar Sand Walk exhibit. But all of the other events are free to the public.
And you've got great food vendors outside.
We have food vendors. You can basically plan an entire day. You could, you know, come early in the day or come later in the day, stick around for sunset. Seeing, you know, the concerts are really cool because it's a dance party in the sand, and it's one of the few times of the year, you know, Clearwater Beach, our beaches are considered a dry beach. You cannot drink alcohol out there in the sand. So it's kind of a unique experience. We like to say it's a toes in the sand experience. And then, of course, lighting up the night sky with the fireworks. It's very magical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like an underlying theme, always looking to create a magical experience for our visitors.
So marketing and advertising for the festival, how Now I know you've got participation from Visit St. Pete.
Yes,
Clearwater.
And I have to say they are a presenting sponsor. Mm-hmm. Visit St. Pete Clearwater. We are a recipient of an elite grant, and those dollars have to be used to market the event outside of Pinellas County, which we do. Very excited. Each year, you know, we always like to try and garner some type of national television to really promote the destination. And 2 years ago, we were featured on the Kelly Clarkson Show, and they did a feature about the event, which was great. And I'm excited to say that we are going to be featured again this year.
Oh, great.
So tune in on March 18th. NBC on the Kelly Clarkson Show. So those are the types of things when people say, like, what drives you? It's really, we take Mother Nature's greatest asset, one of them being our sand, turn it into art. It's extremely photographable, extremely visual, combined with all of these other activities for people to take place. It's just to enhance, you know, you have the beach, you have the beauty of the beach, you have the beautiful clear waters, we have year-round lifeguards. I mean, there's so many things to do. It's just another way to enhance your time spent on Clearwater Beach.
And it's family-friendly.
And it's extremely family-friendly.
That's very attractive to folks nowadays. So the Chandler family's all involved. We know that. But,
yes.
But it takes a lot of other people to put this on, too, right?
The volunteers in our community, we could not do this event without countless hours of volunteers. So far this year, right now, we have about 600. Our goal is to have about 800 volunteers total for shifts throughout the 17 days. But it really is a labor of love between the work that the city of Clearwater does, between the infrastructure, the electric, the gas, the plumbing that has to go into, you know, creating this space every year. You know, the sculptors obviously are the rock stars for us. The bands that come out and participate. You have the artisans who are part of the year-round Sunsets Festival who are out there selling their wares. Our street performers who are out there entertaining guests. But I do agree with you. It's family-friendly is definitely our goal. It's a safe bet, and it just makes for a much more enjoyable experience.
So if I wanted to volunteer, how would I get connected with you?
We would love for you to visit sugarsandfestival.com. There is a volunteer portal. We do provide complimentary transportation with our partnership with PSTA in the city of Clearwater from downtown Clearwater. You can hop on board the trolley, take the trolley to and from Clearwater Beach. You get a free t-shirt. We do feed you. The shifts are 4 hours, and then you get a return ticket, a free ticket to come back at your leisure.
And fireworks. Everybody likes fireworks.
Fireworks.
So how often are you going to have fireworks?
So this year we're actually going to have 4 shows. All 3 Saturdays of the event, the fireworks will be on Saturday nights at 9:30. And then on Sunday for our grand finale, the Spectrum fireworks will take place at 9 p.m. on our last night.
Okay. And people are always asking me, you know, are they going to, if rain comes through or if it's really windy, what kinds of things have you learned about fireworks and putting on a fireworks show?
That's a really, really good question because it really, it's all left up to the fire marshal at the end of the day. Mm. We have had times where it's very windy out there.
And they're there every time you're shooting up fireworks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. You can't do it
safety,
without them being there. Yeah.
Without the fire marshal on board, the fireworks don't take place. We have had years where it's too windy and they call it and it's not safe. And so we either reschedule for another night, which we have had to do before. The same thing goes with weather. A couple years ago, I'm going to knock on this wood table here in hopes that Mother Nature is going to deal us a nice hand of weather, of sunshine and warmer temperatures. But we did have one year where we had to have a hard closure where the exhibit was actually closed for 4 hours. There were tornadoes in the area. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you want to be, even though it is a hurricane-rated tent, is to put people at risk. And so
for sure.
It's an easy, you know, for some people, obviously there's disappointment. The good news about if you purchase a ticket to go to the event, it's 17 days in length. You can come back another day if we were ever to have another hard closure. So, you know, those things, obviously public safety is always at the forefront of every decision that we make out there, because a lot of what we do is weather related.
And you've had some great music acts in the past, too. I know the Black Honkies have been there a number of times, very popular in the area, and the Buffett Band will be popular again this year. But there, last year there was a T.L. Jenkins,
yes.
I think. I don't know how you pronounce the last name.
T.L. Jenkins.
But it was crazy. The show he put on, and the crowd came from all over. It was the biggest crowd I saw for a concert there. But it's a unique kind of show
that he does.
Yeah.
He is a one-man band, but when I say this guy is a rock star, his production setup, the videography, all of the theatrics that go into his performance, he sings just about everything, but he's so engaging. We're really excited because it definitely kept people engaged. They stayed till the very end. He played 3.5 hours straight through without taking a break, but he'll actually be out there two times this year. He will be out on the first Saturday, which I believe is March 29th, and then he will be out the following Friday, which I believe is April 5th. Is that a Friday? March 30th. We open on the 29th. Sorry about that. We open on the 29th. He'll be out there the first Saturday and the second Friday. But we've got a great, great entertainment lineup this year. We're really excited. We have a couple of new bands that will be joining us. We have the Frenchies main stage, and then we also have the White Claw daytime stage. So we'll have duos and DJs that actually come out and perform, and I'll let you in on a little secret about keeping it all in the family. My son, Fields, he's a DJ in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
And I told him, listen, son, this is the year you got to come perform for your mom and dad.
Well,
so he'll be out there as well. Yeah, we keep it in the family.
That smaller stage, that's really nice. I've seen folks out there playing acoustic guitars during the game. And the cornhole is a big thing, too.
Yes, we have a big tournament that first weekend. This year we have a VW Classic Car Show, which that was new last year. And that was very well received, so we're bringing that back. That takes place where the amusements are in the front of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just a lot of great people watching, great food. I can't, you know, say enough about the sponsors of this event. We could not do this event without the support of our sponsors. And it's just a community event, and it's an opportunity not only for people visiting the destination to, you know, see us at our brightest, but also for the locals who live here, you know, to come sink their toes into the sand and have that experience as well.
Yeah, and the festival experience, it's just become such a big thing here. Definitely on a nice evening, you know, it's just really become great. So I know you and your family have been out there involved, not just Sugar Sand Festival, but out there in Clearwater Beach for years with Pier 60 and different enterprises out there. And so what kinds of things do you see happening on Clearwater Beach and things that you've been excited about? I know they've been redoing, refurbishing Beach Walk.
Yes.
You know, it's about time for a little
fix-up.
But it's good things are happening out there
great,
on the beach, aren't they?
Great things are happening on the beach. Beach Walk obviously was a great, great investment. It changed the landscape of Clearwater Beach for the better, made it more pedestrian friendly. There's obviously some new properties that are coming on board. The Opal Soul is supposed to open in 2025. I think that's going to be a magnificent addition to all of the other world-class accommodations that are on the beach already. A lot of new restaurants are opening up. Clearwater Beach is, it's a very family-friendly, but, you know, if you enjoy more nightlife, you can head to Shepherd's and go to the Wave Nightclub. There's so many things to do on Clearwater Beach. It's just a great destination for people to visit and relax.
I think one of the things, too, I like about the Sugar Sand Festival is it's something that appeals to international tourists.
Yes.
And you've been out there like I've been, and boy, I can walk that beach all the way from the Opal Sands all the way up to Caladese. And it just always amazes me how many international visitors we have here.
We do. And it's what's interesting, that's one thing that I've learned, like a sidebar, in the world of sand sculpting. In Europe, sand sculptors are very well recognized. It's like an elite thing to be a sand sculptor because it's such a unique form of art, much like somebody that molds clay or is a painter. I think it's definitely catching on more here. But we definitely receive a lot of international visitors, and they have a very high appreciation for art.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, for years, Europeans have come over, spent a half a week or a week at Disney, and then
and then they come over here.
Beach. But our Asian tourism has been, and our Latin American tourism has been increasing, according to Visit St. Clearwater.
Now, I know they do a great job in marketing the destination outside of the U.S., and that's the name of the game. I mean, tourism is the number one economic engine for the city of Clearwater, and you have to take care of, you know, what takes care of you.
Really helps us when folks come visit and spend money. And,
yes.
And the statistics are that an international tourist will spend more money than a domestic tourist here when they visit here. And so that just helps our taxpayers here in Clearwater
for
and
sure.
throughout the region when folks come in here and have a good time and spend some money and leave some of their
Absolutely.
Money here.
Absolutely. As part of our requirements for Visit St. Pete Clearwater, they have destination analysts that does an economic impact study every year. And that, the data for me is fascinating, because while I can sit here and tell you how great Sugar Sand Festival is, until you see something on pen and paper, last year we came in at a $30 million economic impact to Pinellas County. And I think it said that we created 335 jobs. So there is that piece as well, which is why it's important to have events like this that showcase the destination that are held annually. And I think that was the goal from day one, was to create a destination event for Clearwater Beach.
Because we have an awesome place to live.
We are very spoiled.
We
live really in paradise.
And we need to keep it that way.
And we need to, absolutely.
It takes these folks coming in and spending money so we can put it back into
absolutely.
Keeping things up to date and making things nice. And so appreciate what you do. And
thank you.
You and your family does to make that event successful, because it's very important to Clearwater and certainly helps us help our citizens when you're successful.
So, absolutely, yeah. That's the name of the game.
Anything else you want to share with us about the Sugar Sand Festival?
Just that the tickets for the exhibit are $14. We have Frontline Fridays that's sponsored by Beachside Hospitality. If you are a military, fire, police, teacher, healthcare worker, you can get in for $10.
Great. Well, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And helping us all learn more about the 2024 Sugar Sand Festival. It's been great to be your host today, guest host for Devin. We hope to have Devin back soon. Appreciate producer Matt getting me through this here today.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, as Devin said, there is an election coming up, and that election is March 19th for the city of Clearwater and a couple other cities here in Pinellas County. So get out there and vote, research the candidates, and get out there and vote. And I hope you have a good week, and it's great to be here in Clearwater, and good to host this show this afternoon.
And we will see you same time, same place, same channel next week with Be Local Buzz with Devin right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Baby, bye, bye, bye. I don't wanna be a fool for you. Just another player in your game for two. You may hate me, but it ain't no lie. Baby, bye, bye, bye. I don't really wanna make it tough. I just wanna tell you that I had enough.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.